Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the high mountain of transfiguration, the cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the celebration of the transfiguration of our Lord on the high mountain, the culmination of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany began with the coming of the Magi, following the star to the Christ child, and bowing down and worship him, the light of all the nations. We continued with the baptism of Jesus, the Father's voice, the dove that came down upon Jesus. He is the beloved Son, began his ministry at his baptism. Then Jesus shows his glory by changing the water to wine at the wedding of Cana. And today, the culmination of the season of Epiphany, Jesus transfigured on the high mountain, shining in glory, so the disciples see his true identity, the Son of God in human flesh. We see Jesus as the light and the glory of the whole world and all the nations. And all over the world, Christians are celebrating this great transfiguration event today. You may wonder why it is, however, that as soon as we've celebrated the glory on the high mountain on transfiguration, 3 days later, it's Ash Wednesday, and we begin the 40 penitential days of Lent. This is the reason. The Epiphany season comes to its culmination on the high mountain. We see Jesus' glory shining. We know who he really is. But then we come back down the mountain to see in the first Sunday of Lent Jesus tempted by the devil, fasting for 40 days. And we come on Ash Wednesday to receive ashes and the sign of a cross upon our forehead as a sign of repentance, contrition and sorrow, and faith and meditation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in glory to die upon the cross. That's why we go from Transfiguration to Ash Wednesday in a period of 4 days. So on this celebration of Christ's transfiguration, let's first of all consider, what is the importance of Jesus' deity shining through his humanity? We see Jesus as man, don't we? He's a man who's on a high mountain, perhaps Mount Hermon. I've seen Mount Hermon outside of Caesarea Philippi, a very high mountain in Lebanon. Perhaps it was this mountain or another high mountain where Jesus went up to pray. He's a man. He's praying as true man to God, as our intercessor. He's a man. He has a face. And suddenly his face is transformed and begins to shine like the sun. Who he is as God is shining through his human nature. Even his clothes become dazzling white, flashing like lightning and like the sun. Yes, he is true man standing there on the mountain. But he's also God. We see God's glory shining like a light from heaven through the flesh of Christ. And when the bright cloud overshadows them, this is very significant. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses would go into the tabernacle to talk to God face to face, and the bright cloud was called the Shekinah, would come over the tabernacle as Moses spoke with God. And when he came out, his face was shining. And he put a veil over his face. When the bright cloud comes over the mountain, it means God is present. The proof of that, the voice comes out of the cloud. It's the voice of God the Father. This, Jesus, is my Son, my chosen one. He's saying, this is my only begotten Son. I have no other Son. He is my Son. There is none other. He's my chosen one. When he was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism to be the Messiah and to be the Christ, God is saying, this is my chosen one. This is my beloved one. Listen to him. How powerful it is to listen to Jesus. And how comforting it is that the Bible that you heard read at the lectern and is being preached to you right now came from the Father who gave his words to the Son, who taught them to the apostles, who wrote them down under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which you now hear, which you read, and so you can listen to the voice and the words of the Son sent by the Father in your own language, in English, in a language that you can understand. And you can understand, if I want to know God, I know him only through the person of Jesus Christ. You know, when God the Father says, listen to him, you know what that says to me? You are not wasting your time this morning. Why in the world did you get up and come to church this morning? Why do you come to church when you could be doing other things this morning? This is not a waste of time, because every time you come here, you are not hearing the word of man. You are hearing the word of God, and God will honor that as you hear that word and obey that word and listen to the voice of the Father. As I said last week, each week when you come here, get one or two phrases that can sustain you for the rest of the week. Hear that word of Jesus. It'll be a different one for everyone sitting here, and be comforted. I'm going to church to listen to God's Son, because God the Father told me to. Listen to him. Not only do we see Jesus' deity shining through his humanity, this great event, we see something also fantastic that never happens again in all of history. And that is this. At this mountain, we see the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. We see the New Testament, Peter, James, and John. And we see Jesus, the fulfillment. All in the same place at the same time. That never happens any other time in history. This is very significant. The Old Testament is present. The two men talking with Jesus are the actual Moses and the actual Elijah. Moses, of course, was the one through whom God gave the law, the Ten Commandments. But much more than that, you know, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were given to Moses. Moses, the leader of God's people. Moses at Mount Sinai, who received the Ten Commandments. Moses is there with Jesus. And then Elijah. Elijah represents all the prophets, the major and minor prophets, who in their messianic prophecies foretold the coming of the Messiah. Elijah, who had to flee Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah, who trusted in the Lord. They are both with Jesus, standing there with him in his glory, as he's speaking about his soon to come departure. And the word there is Exodus, which will be accomplished at Jerusalem. You remember that in the Old Testament lesson, God himself buried Moses at Mount Nebo. I've stood looking over the Dead Sea across to the east and have seen Mount Nebo. And somewhere there, God buried Moses and received Moses up into heaven. You know, Elijah didn't die. He went on the chariots of fire bodily to heaven. It is that Moses and that Elijah who seemed to know all about the cross that was coming. The word there in the Greek is they speak to him about his soon to happen exodus. What they mean by that is Jesus is talking about his soon to happen exodus out of this world through his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of God. Moses and Elijah knew that was about to happen. They knew that this Lord Jesus Christ would come to save us from sin and death and hell by leading us in an exodus out of this world into the next world. But he had to go first. When Moses had led the people through the desert, it was then Joshua who would be used by God to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Jesus' name, Jesus, in Hebrew is Yeshua or Joshua. Jesus is the new Joshua. And Moses and Elijah knew that as Moses and then Joshua led the people from the desert into the promised land, Jesus would go into the desert, if you will, of his suffering and death upon Calvary's cross, and would lead us not through military conquest, but through his own death, his innocent suffering and death, and his glorious resurrection would lead us in an exodus from this world into heaven. Moses and Elijah knew all about this and were speaking to Jesus about it. But then you've got the New Testament there on the mountain. Three apostles, Peter, James, and John, used by God to give us the apostolic New Testament. They are also on the mountain observing this. And Peter and the others are heavy with sleep, and they wake up, and they see Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And Peter immediately wants to build tents, little tabernacles, recalling the Jewish festival of the tabernacles, where they build little tents to remind them of how they had wandered in the desert. Peter wants to prolong this event. The cloud of glory that overshadows them, they're afraid to enter it because they know we're in the presence of Almighty God. But then the cloud disappears, and this beautiful detail of the text, they look up, and they see Jesus alone. That is powerful. Jesus alone is who we see. We look to no one else. Jesus initially told them, right now, don't tell anyone what you've seen until after I've been raised from the dead. But after Christ had been raised, John talked about it in John. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John talked about it in his gospel and in his epistles. Peter, in his epistles, said, we were with him on the high mountain. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw this light shining in the dark place, and you will do well to pay attention to it. The New Testament bears witness to the power of this event, the Old and New Testament, and Christ the fulfillment. Well, thirdly, then, where does that leave us who are, after having received Holy Communion Day and today and rejoicing in Transfiguration, will come back here on Wednesday for the season of Lent? Here's the significance. Going from Transfiguration to Ash Wednesday, we realize that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's law and prophets. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is the one who would come at Passion Week to fulfill all righteousness for us, to be our substitute on Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus is the one to whom we come on Ash Wednesday with repentance, sorrow, and faith. Jesus is the one who will battle and defeat the temptations of Satan. And this is what we know. Always before the crown must come the cross. First comes the suffering, then will come the joy. First comes the cross, and then comes the crown. It was like that for Jesus, and it's like that for you and me. In conclusion, as important as the Mount of Transfiguration is, it only has its meaning when we consider Mount Calvary. It was at Mount Calvary where Jesus took away the sin of the world in his death upon the cross, and in his blood we are accounted righteous. Is it Mount Calvary where he purchased us by his holy blood? We only understand the Mount of Transfiguration in view of Mount Calvary. Jesus chose to die on the cross. The Mount of Transfiguration shows us he has power over all things. There are no nails that could have held him to the cross unless he willingly submitted himself to that death. The glory of the Transfiguration shows us that the one who created the iron from which the nails were made allowed himself to be crucified on Calvary. The glory of the Transfiguration reminds us that the one who created the tree would allow himself to be nailed to the tree at Mount Calvary for us and for our salvation. So that means for you and me on this day, let us hold fast to our confession in Jesus. Let us hold fast to this one who is over God's house, the builder of all things. Christ is faithful as God's Son in God's house. Today, you come to listen to Jesus and to receive His gifts. Share in this heavenly calling. Hold fast to Jesus. He is our confidence. He is our boast. He is our hope. He is our eternal glory and light. Let us rejoice this Transfiguration Day in that light of Christ as we come this week into Lent. To the glory of His name, amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.